time now for the Asri Report. Joining us on the line, we have Asri's Director of Strategy, Sabiha Mutada. Sabiha, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum salam, and thank you so much for having me.
Many people are wondering, what tools are there to help people in finding out more about their municipalities and the candidates standing for election in their wards?
I think for this, it's really important to know about open data. Open data is data that's available freely and publicly across different sources, including the internet, but also in reports, and the power of what this information can provide to the public. So News24 has developed a tool called the Out of Order Index, and if you just Google that, you'll find it online, where what they've done is they've gone through audit reports, budgets, project implementation, and all kinds of information about municipalities, and collated it in this one-stop shop that the members of the public can use to see how well the municipalities are doing. And what this does for the local government elections is it means that you can go see what your municipality has done, whether they've stuck to the budget, whether they've had clean audits, and make a decision on whether you want to kind of follow through on what you voted last time in terms of political party. And it essentially is a record of their performance. So that's really, really interesting for local government elections. Then also there's an organization called Open Cities Lab, which uses open data to try and provide information about cities across the world. And they've now produced a tool called My Candidate. So if you go to mycandidate.opencitieslab.org, you can see which candidates are running in your ward, and also how many wards those candidates are running for across the municipality. And this is really important because, as you might know, for political parties, they're allowed to have candidates in various wards, but independent candidates can only run in the wards they live in. So voters might want to see where candidates might have responsibility spread across the municipality, which would inform whether or not they might want to vote for that candidate. So these tools are really speaking to the power of open data for improved participation of the public in decision-making and in democracy, because access to information is really empowerment. It can improve the way that you make your choices and the way that you participate in society.
On a different story, what are the major news issues with regards to the COVID-19 vaccine this week?
So two very interesting and important news stories have emerged this week with regards to the COVID-19 vaccine. Firstly, the rollout for teenagers between the ages of 12 to 17 has begun this week, which means that children can now get vaccinated. This is really important because though across the world news seems to tell us and reports seem to tell us, and the WHO also tells us, the World Health Organization, that though children seem to be less affected by COVID, they can still spread it. And we saw that in the country and across the world. There were a number of news stories of different schools that became super spreaders. So they would spread it to their classmates, who would then take it home to their families. Teachers were getting COVID. So it's really important that because the vaccine has been deemed safe for children, that they also have access to this sort of life-saving and illness-preventing tool. Although there is still some hesitancy from parents based on the usual kind of reasons that we've heard, such as not knowing what the long-term effects are. It is important to note that this would not have been approved if it was not deemed safe by healthcare authorities, especially because we have a vast amount of information, particularly coming from Europe and the United States, where this vaccination for teenagers has already been approved. The other interesting story in the week about the COVID-19 vaccine that's been on a lot of people's minds is that the University of Cape Town has all but approved a policy of mandatory vaccination for access to campus. So that would mean that all staff and students, professors, cleaning staff, and all students attending campus would have to be vaccinated, I think they said by the 1st of January, in order to access the campus. So we've seen private companies like Discovery introduce mandatory vaccination, but this will possibly be the first instance where access to a public institution will be limited by whether or not a person has been vaccinated. And it's going to set an important precedent for other public institutions as we watch this unfold, especially as other universities like FITS and UJ are also considering similar policies. And this is really interesting because it's again raising an important question about how do we balance the individual's choices and the individual's rights against the interests of the collective. And particularly in the time of COVID-19, when it's so easy to spread this virus to a large number of people, is it still right to value the choice of this individual not to get vaccinated over the potential of harming a huge number of people? And just to contextualize it a little bit, we know that in South Africa, some human rights are limited, and it is considered fair and constitutional if limiting those rights protects the interests of the collective good. So this will be an interesting one to watch unfold. And I think it might also influence whether or not people do continue to go and get vaccinated if it does affect people's access to especially public institutions.
All right, Sabia, shukran so much for your time and for the report this morning. We really appreciate it.
Shazar, thank you for having me.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
That was this week's Asri report with Asri's Director of Strategy, Sabiha Mutalam.